You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We've had multiple conversations on Insight about the rise in gun violence and firearm purchases during the pandemic, with deadly examples in Sacramento that have made national news this year. A mass shooting in downtown Sacramento, followed by another deadly shooting a few blocks away. And earlier this year in the county, a father killing his children and their chaperone during a supervised visit. But there are many more that happen on an intimate and individual level that don't receive the same trajectory of attention. A senior writer at the Sacramento Observer went beyond gun violence and learned about the overlap domestic violence plays, an intersection with deep roots in mental health, poverty, and socioeconomic inequality, but with little formal research beyond a troubling correlation. That journalist is Genoa Barrow, a senior staff writer with the Sacramento Observer, who looked into this intersection between domestic violence and community gun violence. Genoa is joined by Dr. Shani Buggs, a researcher with the Violence Prevention Research Program at UC Davis. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Genoa, I want to start with you. How did this reporting come together? Were you seeing threads pop up in the course of pursuing other stories? I'm just curious how the story began to take shape for you.
Yes. Both issues are prevalent in our community, unfortunately. But the World of Hurt was the name of the series. And it came about, I was invited to participate in a fellowship that the USC Annenberg Center for Health Journalism was doing as part of its Domestic Violence Impact Reporting Fund. And with those 6 degrees of separation, you're paired with a mentor. And my mentor happened to be Sammy Kayola, CAP Radio.
Yes.
She did the awesome reporting for After the Assault. But USC's Annenberg Center was looking at domestic violence and how the changes in approach, going from a law enforcement approaches to sort of public health, approaching it from that perspective. And so I took the opportunity to explore that as part of that fellowship.
Yeah, Sammy is wonderful. We were both fellows, actually, for the Center of Health Journalism during the same year when I was at another newsroom. Once you decided to pursue this, was it just straightforward in terms of knowing who to turn to, or was this kind of uncharted reporting for you?
I mean, there are, I would say, the usuals, you know, people that you know that, you know, deal with domestic violence, and over the years, sources that I've known and called upon for these things, but it's also some that I didn't. So you have to, you know, cast the net wide. And I came across Dr. Buggs and her work. And I think it should be highlighted because sometimes you can feel like you're out there on your own, you know, uncharted. And sometimes, you know, hammering the nail and driving home the need for such research and exploration.
Yeah. You began your piece, A World of Hurt, with a mass shooting in downtown Sacramento earlier this year, which was the first ever mass shooting in recent city history. Why was this the right approach for you?
Just because I think that, like I said, the attention that some incidents get that others don't. We know that, you know, zip codes matter, you know, race matters, and, you know, and everything from police response to media attention to research and resources at the community level to funding for research into the issue. So, you know, obviously, you know, all eyes were on this K Street shooting, but there are other shootings that happen in our community that never get the same amount of exposure. But then also, when you look at it, I saw that when I got, you know, I get the police press releases from time to time when things happen. And you notice when you read them, you know, so-and-so or this particular suspect, you know, was, you know, they got that person on, you know, domestic violence warrants, or they had. So there's a clear tie to it, but not necessarily conversation surrounding it.
You wrote that there's a story behind the story. When it comes to the K Street shooting, you found a correlation and a connection between domestic violence and gun violence.
Yes, I mean, each of the suspects that they ultimately arrested related to the shooting had domestic violence histories. And one of them was, at the time, they were looking for him already for some domestic violence charges. And so there is a correlation between and then, you know, you start to look at, you know, what does that mean? You know, are there triggers, to use that word, are there triggers, early warning signs? You know, it goes back to sort of also how domestic violence is still viewed. There's a lot of resources, but like at the root of it, you know, do people see it as, you know, warning signs and say, hey, you know, if we address this, we can address, you know, and hopefully avoid some injury and deaths, you know, down the road.
Yeah, I mean, you found throughout your reporting that those who witnessed violence had higher odds of gun possession. Those who experienced violence had even higher odds of gun possession. And you share a spectrum of community voices in your piece. What surprised you most during this reporting?
What surprised me most, I think, is that while there are some findings, I mean, it still isn't a lot of the numbers aren't specific to the Black community. And I think some of the community voices that I spoke to, whether it was Barry Axias, who is a community champion, and he has certain he has organizations. He's the founder of Voice of the Youth, but he also an offshoot of it is Don't Shoot Our Future Down. Another one is She Could Be Our Daughter. And then I also talked to Asantewaa Boykin, who is co-founder of the Anti-Police Terror Project, which is both in Oakland and Sacramento. And they talk about getting to the root, right? But also the need for more resources in our community specific to us so that we can avoid some of, is that you have the data. And then I talked to, obviously, Dr. Buggs. And I mean, there's data, but there's still data gaps. And so we need to get in and stand in those, and some of these community champions are standing in these gaps. And so there needs to be more focus, I believe.
Well, Dr. Buggs, you know, we discussed deadly crimes that have gained national attention. But, you know, as Genoa just laid out, there are so many more that we collectively don't think about. What have you witnessed and learned from your research in your line of your work?
Yes. So Genoa is absolutely right in terms of the lack of research. There are things that we know and there's a lot that we don't. And a main driver of that is that people, policymakers, researchers, and funders of research have not thought of domestic violence and community violence as related. Much of the research and advocacy around domestic violence in our country has centered and been shaped by the experiences of cis heterosexual white women. So community violence, which is disproportionately impacting Black and Brown communities, has been viewed as a different issue entirely, when in fact there is great overlap in what we know about the root causes of both kinds of violence. And historically, much of the research on domestic violence has not taken into account the significant impacts of structural racism, intergenerational economic and social disinvestment, and the intersection of those barriers with things like patriarchy and misogyny. And there's also been limited data. Data on domestic violence assaults and homicides is not routinely tracked by law enforcement in ways that allow us to distinguish domestic violence and IP, and intimate partner violence, IPV incidents, from other incidents of violence. So it's difficult to be able to tease apart with the way violent assaults or violent incidents are currently collected by police departments. Then we also know that in Black and Brown communities, there's great underreporting of domestic and intimate partner violence to police because of historical and cultural distrust towards the criminal legal system. And so all of these things make it difficult to study the intersections, but increasingly there is growing awareness that there is this overlap, and there are definitely parallels. And as I said, there's great overlap in the root causes.
You told Genoa in her piece that violence deserves attention regardless of where it takes place. Have we become complacent as a society or community?
Absolutely. I think, between media, but between, sensationalism in media and the way that violence is reported, the way violence is thought of in our country, in our society, it is seen largely as inevitable and an expected outcome in Black and brown communities. And then when it happens outside of those communities, then there is a different narrative and a different level of outrage and action towards how, what should be done about it. And unfortunately, what the conversations continue to leave out are, what's driving the violence. And what we know is that violence is largely learned behavior. And so it is, and that means that when you're talking about community violence, research with individuals who have gone on to commit harm against other persons talk about, chronic and deep trauma exposure to violence in their homes and in their communities. And so there's a cyclical effect when there is violence experienced in the home and in the communities that then leads to violence perpetration. But instead of addressing the violence that is occurring earlier on, before it becomes, an act against someone else, it's largely kept under the rug. And so it is treated differently. And so we're not having full conversations around what the drivers of violence are and how do we actually help heal and unlearn those behaviors.
Yeah, it becomes chronic and deeply
exactly.
embedded, even if it is put under the rug. Genoa, when you were actually talking with community organizations, I mean, they're right there in the thick of it. What did they tell you about the parallels or the relationships between domestic and gun violence?
Yeah, and speaking to, community, advocates, and we talked about, like Dr. Bug said, getting to the roots, right? And so when I talked to, and different people had different, views, right? So talking to Asantewa Boykins, she talked about, emulating, learned behavior, emulating the, things that we learned or were shown, from, if you go back to, days of slavery, right? And how, Black people in America were controlled, with violence, right? And so, violence, learned behavior again, and exposure and, studies show that, folks that, are exposed to violence. And if you go back, not just, in our own homes, but you go back, into history. But again, I talked to Tamisa Wash over at Weave, one of the leading resources for women. It's right there in the name, women escaping a violent environment. And, she talked about, terror and trauma, and it's like, that doesn't necessarily give folks a pass. And, yes, all these things have happened to us, but, she said a beautiful thing, it's time for some healing in our community. And part of that is, and I always say, you got to rip the Band-Aid off and let it hit the air. And sometimes, shining the light, on our own things can be uncomfortable, but they have to happen. And I think that's what I got from the community advocates, that Barry Axios, he was saying that, you have to give folks, and he does a lot of work with young men. And so you have to give them outlets for some of the issues that they deal with, some of the emotions. And we know, just the history of masculinity, right? It's not, okay, quote unquote, for men, especially, Black men, to express their emotions. And so if they have no outlet, they take that out on before, that's what I said, the story behind the story, before folks do things in the community, you know, the folks that in their own homes are often suffering. So we have to give, you know, outlets and resources to address some of those things in order for healing to happen.
You also spoke with the district attorney's office in Sacramento County. What is their view on this connection or intersection and solutions?
Well, I think the solutions that I spoke with her about, there's still a lack of, how do you say, like, again, the data collection. You know, one organization is like, they don't keep track of this. But there is, it seems to be, and from a law enforcement standpoint, there's a multi, you know, level approach, right? And there's, you know, organizations within organizations, and they have commissions that look at, you know, different things. And so there's hope. Mm-hmm. But I think, again, there's still these gaps. And so I think if we, you know, address some of those, it'll fall on like, but as I started out saying, it's like, who domestic violence, you know, what it looks like, we say like, okay, in certain, when mass shootings happen outside of where they're supposed to have, or shootings in general happen, then that's what the attention. And so I think that there still needs to be more awareness and education on what that is. And it's a universal thing, unfortunately, because it just doesn't happen in the Black community. But I think there's still a lack of care in some aspects.
Yeah, Dr. Buggs, you said that there is more awareness. We only have about 10 or 15 seconds left. I'm just curious, what do you want listeners to take away from this conversation?
That there are overlaps. We need to be listening to survivors of violence. We have not talked about violence within the LGBTQ plus community as well. And there are lots of survivors' voices that are being left out of the conversation that need to be elevated in order for us to address solutions.
Dr. Shani Buggs is a researcher with the Violence Prevention Research Program at UC Davis. Genoa Barrow is a reporter with the Sacramento Observer. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. We're back in just a moment.